I'm Grigori Karpin from Simply Creative People, the podcast where we discuss GUIs, canons, and stories from the SCP Wiki, and we try to recommend things for all fans of the Wiki, new and old. Look for us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Visit the show page at anchor.fm/simply-creative-people, or follow us on Twitter at SIMCREAT.
I'm Kelsey.
I'm Cassie.
And I'm Nolan from SCP Weekly. We bring you news from on-site and off-site.
And we share your love for the creative community that surrounds the SCP Wiki.
Join us on Tuesdays for new episodes, wherever you listen to podcasts, or on YouTube at SCP Weekly.
The file you are about to hear has been thoroughly scrutinized by the Ethics Committee and approved by the O5 Council for release to trusted associates of the Foundation. This is SCP Unredacted.
In a melancholic, dusty corner of the library, a man once simply known as L.S. sat quietly, watching what was once the archives slowly succumb to the darkened clutches of the night. The remaining books decayed to nothing short of dust before his eyes, while the booming heartbeat of the once mighty and proud Yggdrasil faded away. In the corner of his eye, he caught a glimpse of the last refugees fleeing hurriedly from the library, hopping recklessly into any free-use ways they could reach. At the end of the line, a dead end waited for them, but they were not aware of this. At best, they would reach another world doomed to shade, one in which the sun would set a little bit later. The library was always a quiet place, a caring home to which any wanderer could turn to in times of need. It had always been free of dream dwellers, bottom feeders, or, for the record, deities. But Evith had, through brute force, tore her way inside the archives, grasping with her darkened hand any book left to defile, any shelf left to wither. The hand had never faced such an opponent. In the past, the library had its own perpetrators, its traitors, its burglars, its never were. But such an opponent, one god from the astral realm, they had never faced before. And thus was birthed their despair when they left the library, riding the waves to the sunny embrace of the garden. In front of him, some of the last shelves dipped headfirst into the waves of Nil. The caring roots of Yggdrasil, the still beating heart of the library, dimmed as they writhed, until they withered away, much like everything else they once preserved. The ones that were still left turned back into the tree's chamber. He hoped, at least, these ones would live to tell the tale. And at last, he decided the time had come. His finger gently touched the spine of a book perched in a shelf nearing the end of its tall tails. The golden symbol carved onto its cover shone brightly, illuminating the immediate area with the warm glow of an astable sun. Before him, space and time themselves ripped apart, if there were any, in the library, and a ghastly entrance to a rotting way opened up. At the finish line awaited the magical expanse of the garden. He strapped his titular mask to his face and stepped through the gate. Arriving at the end of the falling way, his eyes beheld the vastness of the beautiful garden. It was the only sunny place left in creation, outside of the darkness's reach. A verdant garden laid itself out across the vast plains, lush with all manner of flora, both familiar and hitherto unknown, some blooming profusely, while others stood tall, canopies rippling in the breeze. Before him walked ethereal mirages of the Aniroi, apparatuses of clockwork, refugees from countless worlds succumbed to the night, rushing to the only safe haven left in existence. Looking upward, he saw the majestic sight of the Tree of Life, the crown jewel of the garden. Slithering between its countless roots was the serpent, looking down at the survivors of the eternal night. He walked on the outer rim of the garden, reaching what was always his favorite tree. Nobody recognized him. Nobody watched him. Not anymore. He sat down and rested under its 24 branches, softly embracing the kind, metaphorical hug the garden offered to its residents. From within the bushes, he saw a man walk. He wore a strange suit, sleek, metallic, nearly futuristic. On his helmet shined a green visor, alarming him of anything nearby. On his chest plate, the marking of the Grand Yggdrasil rested. The man approached him and held out his hand. Sweat was dripping down his helmet, a sign of anxiety, of hurry. But why here? Why in the garden? One of the surveyors, I presume. Those who ponder the roots of the Greater Yggdrasil. Could you please come with me for a moment? We need to confirm your identity. See, wearing something with antimimetic properties as powerful as that mask of yours is not the best thing you could do upon entry to the garden. So, would you be so kind as to follow me to the serpent? Yes, indeed, but I would prefer to keep my identity secret. Would the serpent be amenable to an alias? As he uttered these words, a thought flashed across his mind. Don't be reckless, L.S. You know you're not going to be running away from the serpent forever. Never mind. I'll just follow you. Oh, thank you so much. I've got a really hard time dealing with the secretive guy as usual. He suddenly stopped, as more sweat dripped down his visor. His breath became heavy, his movements slow. He seemed scared, but the man could not figure why. Wait, no. No, not now. Why does it always happen now? Come on, why can't I get a break? I don't want to go back to that place where it's always dark. As he uttered these words, he disappeared in a flash of light, traveling toward another, unknown, eternally moonlit world. The figure of a man stood behind an old, knocked-up pub, hiding in a darkened alleyway. He held a cat in his embrace, its gentle purring comforting the panicked web of thoughts that plagued his mind. A few feet behind him, the ghouls of the night marched forward, chanting whatever vexing arcana their overlord had stolen from the mouth of the dragon. He tried to touch the pub's aged, torn wall. He tried again, and again, and again. The man was trying to escape. His heart beat like a drum roll. His breath got faster and faster as he attempted to complete spell after spell, all in an attempt to run away to whatever foreign dimension he could reach. As he tried to carve out the sign that would lead him to her, a bright flash cut through the fog of the night that tightened around him like a noose. From the flash emerged a reluctant Hopper. He wore a strange metallic suit, reflecting the moonlight high above. On his chest was printed the logo of a tree. Hey there, sorry if this is a bad time, but might I ask where I am and who you are? Silence engulfed them for a moment as Magnus stood shocked at the sight of the man. Heavens above, where did you come from, monsieur? We are in Xerophila. I am Magnus Kinslow, knowledge broker. I am, sad to say, partially responsible for this mess. He paused and gently jerked his head to the cat in his arms. Is Josephine, my cat. The cat looked up at the suited man, initially spooked by his sudden appearance and imposing figure. In the span of a few seconds, however, it softened up and purred happily at him. I'm Agent Hopper, Yggdrasil Surveyor, tedious garden worker. He worriedly looked up at the starlit sky above him. No, come on, it's dark again. I'm tired of this. Every time I teleport, I just end up... Whatever. You don't want to hear it. So, is this place safe? Can I just wait somewhere until I teleport back to the garden? Magnus briefly looked at the other side of the alleyway. The ghouls had noticed them. They were making a run for them, armed with their rotten handmade weapons, or merely rushing recklessly with their teeth. They chanted incomprehensible spells. Some gurgled. Some succumbed to their bizarre spasms as they rushed. Oozes and blood dripped down from their unhinged maws, defiling the pavement as they splattered. That is not the case, so will you come along or do you prefer to get feasted on? They can chew through steel. Yeah, I'd prefer not to get eaten alive. So which way? As he finished his sentence, he looked to the crumbling wall of the pub. The sound of footsteps echoed through it. Never mind. Do not be afraid. He should be here quite soon, actually right about. The ghouls were now only a few feet away from them. As one readied its freakish fangs to snap at Hopper's neck, a rock came tumbling down from the roof of a nearby building. It landed on the ghouls in front of them, squashing them to a disgusting bloody puddle. The rest were blown away by the tremendous might of the impact. Now, cracks formed on the rock's surface, giving way to larger fissures and fractures. As it fell apart, the alleyway shook as if a storm were blowing through, abruptly ceasing, as if to herald the arrival of the man stepping out of the rubble. He had long, bright blonde hair that reached to his waist. He was dressed in vaguely Sumerian clothing, and an array of jade tattoos covered his darkened gray skin. His muscles nearly tore through the clothing. In a belt at his waist, a long, razor-edged jade blade glowed through the night. He unsheathed it, waiting for the next few ghouls to come running towards him. A few of them rushed towards him, hands extended, maws wide open, old rusty weapons drawn, all aiming for his neck. He swung his majestic blade in a pinpoint arc, robbing the husks of their heads and of their grim life. Swing after swing, drop after drop of blood, he cleared his way through the wall of husks. He turned and looked back at the men. "Hello, Magnus."
"Welcome. I was sure you would come. You need to get some fresh air once in a while, too."
"Sorry, but who are you?" asked Hopper curiously. The man was abstractly familiar, although he could not exactly remember him.
"Abel."
Another ghoul jumped for his neck, tumbling down from a nearby window. As it rushed down on him, he thrust his blade into the soon-to-be cadaver's mouth. The blade passed through its mouth, its glowing edge showing up from the other side of its head. Its body went limp, and it fell to the floor.
"Abel Ablishall."
"You mean you're the Abel? Like, murdered and all that?"
"Yes. I'd prefer you did not talk about that."
Abel gave him a cold, emotionless stare, which likely meant he would have disemboweled him right there and then, if it weren't for Magnus.
And you know each other?" asked Hopper through gritted teeth.
"I met this sir in one of my many travels. He was a warrior once, a protector, but not a traitor, as his brother was," replied Magnus. Abel winced mildly at this mention, his face becoming rock solid for a moment. Hopper decided to continue no further on this, now quite fearful of Abel.
"I see.
Where to now, Magnus? My time outside of that unforgiving lump of stone is limited, as you know," spat Abel. Magnus did not respond and returned to the velvet inscription. As his hand spun rapidly through the veil of shadow, the briefest hint of what could only be blood dripped down, menacingly, from one of his veins.
"Why?" asked Abel.
"You will get the gist of it soon." Magnus gently finished scribing the last part of the ornate rune. A red, bloody flash briefly lit the darkened alleyway, and before the men appeared what was akin to a way, but mightily unbounded by the mere confines of logic. Abel looked suspiciously at the entrance for a moment, but his tension went away as he realized it was merely a path to a woman he well knew.
"So, will you join me, friends?" asked Magnus.
"Where to? Whatever made that way like that, it doesn't seem safe," said Hopper, the worry in his voice growing steadily but surely. Abel cast him another one of those glares, which this time meant, "I doubt you ever even worked for the Serpent's Hand, you cretin." "It is much safer than these lands, I assure you." "As to where to," replied Magnus in a slightly cryptic tone. "To Mademoiselle Himelia, of course."
Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, join my Discord community, hire me on Fiverr, or help support me by becoming a patron for as little as $3 a month. Regardless of tier, all patrons get early access to every single episode. The links are in the description. I don't have the talent it takes to write a skip. All I do is read. Original authors make this podcast possible. So, Credit to the original author. Their link's in the description. Show them some love as well. Consider becoming a member of the SCP Wiki. Upvote their work, and maybe write a skip of your own. Maybe I'll read it here someday. You never know if you never try. The content of this podcast and content relating to the SCP Foundation, including the SCP Foundation logo, is licensed under Creative Commons ShareAlike 3.0, and all concepts originate from scpwiki.com and its authors. This recording, being derived from this content, is hereby also released under Creative Commons ShareAlike 3.0.
Hey there, this is DJ Skip, host of Foundation After Midnight Radio, coming to you from the only third shift broadcast for personnel by personnel. Be sure to tune in wherever you listen to podcasts to not miss out on containment news and community announcements from within the Foundation.